Let me throw a brief message. I am happy to be here after 10 years that have gone by, that I came to Wayne University for a conference, which I really enjoyed and really learned a lot. Later, I came to visit the mummies from Guanajuato that were exhibited here in Detroit and back to work in Mexico. So this time, a lot of things have happened during these years, especially recently. Disruption would be the word to describe, but there is disruption to build better things, and there is disruption to destroy. Still, it is an enigma for me and for the rest of the world. What is the route, the path, that this great nation is going to take after this disruptor took over? I would not lie if I say that we're highly worried outside, that everywhere in the world, we ask ourselves, what's happening with the leader? Why the leader nation in the world is building walls, isolating himself? Why the leader of the world is abandoning his key strategic responsibility with leadership? We don't want to miss the leader. We don't want the leader to isolate. We want the leader to be active. Because what usually happens on leadership is when you live behind empty spaces, when you don't respond to your responsibilities as leader, that empty space is going to be filled up by someone else. So the message is out there that this nation might take the option of isolation, of building walls and renouncing to its leadership. We are sure that the checks and balances of this democracy at the very end will prevail, and will prevail avoiding that vacuum, that empty space, and on the contrary, to become stronger worldwide. So we need a great world. America is already great, but we need a great world. And that great world has been led by this nation up to now. Every action has a reaction. Every decision has consequences. And what we see up to now is uncertainty, is the remote possibility that the gringo fail, the ugly American that was hated so much in the past on almost every nation, could be back. We don't want Uncle Sam with a stick. We want Uncle Sam and this nation to be compassive, to be friendly, to partner with the rest of the world, to build a real path to progress, to security, and to success. So, the question.
I'm David Jesse from the Detroit Free Press. You talk a little bit about the wall, and obviously there's a lot of discussion about that. Do you think that's a reality, that it's actually going to be built, or do you think it's the President of the United States blustering and playing to his base?
That wall has been there since time ago. It's not 100% built, but it is there. And the same as the Chinese wall and the Berlin Wall, it has served no purpose. It has not returned any best way of handling migration. Migration is a crucial issue. Migration is the asset of all nations and of each nation. This nation has been built all along by migrants. Migrants like President Washington, like President Abraham Lincoln, like President Jefferson, like President Reagan, like President Kennedy, like President Obama, like President Trump himself. So it's not a good thing to distort, to attack this great asset that this nation has. So we have to deal with the migration issue. Number two, we have to deal with the trade issue. The trade issue is also distorted. Wars on trade only bring defeat and only bring poverty. So nobody wants trade wars because it's a lose-lose game for everybody. And finally, DACA, building human talent, is the best investment that any country can do. There is only one way to change a nation in one generation, and it is through education. It's unfair, I would say it's criminal, to cut the dreams of 800,000 kids. Minorities pretty soon will be majorities in this nation. This is a phrase I listened from former secretary, ¿cómo se llama? His name? Colin Powell. Minorities will be majorities. And he then followed. We must train minorities because they educate minorities, because they will become the leaders of the future. So the advice is clear, the concept is strong, and DACA kids deserve to stay in school, to stay in this nation, and there is always a way to find out how can they stay here. Because up to now, because of DACA, they are legal. They're documented in this nation by the authority of the president or the former president of the United States. Now is your turn.
We have time for one more.
Just from Dunseed.com, could you elaborate a bit about President Fox and what the economic impact might be for both the U.S. and Mexico of reopening NAFTA negotiations and what that might cause in terms of the economy?
Well, NAFTA has been very successful. Tell you two reasons. One, that the gap at the beginning of NAFTA between the income you would make in the Mexican side and the income you would make by crossing the border, by learning how to swim, by learning how to jump walls, you would make 10 times as much. So the gap was 10 to 1, 23 years ago, when NAFTA started. Today, that gap is 5 to 1, so it has narrowed considerably. Today, the trend has reversed. Many more Mexicans are coming back to Mexico than those coming in. So that's one fruit, one consequence of NAFTA. The other one is that today, being on your own is difficult, it's costly. And if you look at General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, 5 years ago they went broke. They had to be rescued by money coming from taxpayers, money coming from US citizens. A lot of money, billions and billions of taxpayers' money was used to rescue these three corporations. Today they are successful because now they are NAFTA corporations, GM, Chrysler, and Ford. Today they have a bright future ahead. Today they have reconquered the lost market because the lack of competitiveness. So let's not make the same mistake. We should learn from history. Nobody should oblige these three corporations to come back and manufacture only in the United States. They will go broke again. They will not be able to survive. They will not be competitive. And then we will see again the Toyotas, the Mazdas, the Nissans, the BMWs, the Mercedes-Benz, and all the rest of the automobile industry taking a much larger position on the US market.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm Jake Neer. I'm with WDET Public Radio here in Detroit. I'm just wondering if you had a chance to hear President Trump's address to the United Nations today, how you could characterize what he had to say to the world today.
I've been busy. I did not hear him, but tell me a little bit.
Well,
what worries you about
that? I guess I'll ask this more generally. When it comes to the United States as a foreign policy partner, as a trade partner, keeping its end of the deals, how would you characterize how President Trump has affected that? Do you think that other world leaders have, that their view of the United States as a partner in these types of things has changed in recent years? And is that lasting change?
Well, I would have to hear what he said there. But up to now, he's been highly confrontational. He's been anything but diplomatic. He's been aggressive. He's been offending almost every nation and every leader outside of the United States. How can he claim today that he wants partners to fight against North Korea, that he wants partners for other things that are convenient to the United States? In this life, you give and take. In this life, you get back what you provoke. If you provoke aggressive winds and storms, that's what you harvest. So I think he has to calm down. He has to be more careful when he opens his mouth. He has to be more thoughtful when he writes a tweet. And he has to respect everybody. Many people tell me why you don't respect Senor Trump. And I say, because he is not won my respect. He offended Mexico, Mexicans, aggressively by saying that we're rapists, that we're criminals, and that were goods for nothing. He has to come to Mexico and see what we are, learn what we are, and try to respect us better. I'm ready to sit down with him anytime he gives me that opportunity. Just him and me. And not to make deals to see who wins and who is defeated. That's a loss-loss situation. That is a zero sum. We need together, sit together, is to provoke synergy, is to go into a win-win situation, is to commit with both of our nations and both of our peoples. I end up with this. This is a Dalai Lama's statement. The world belongs to humanity, belongs to humankind, not to a person, does not belong to a leader, does not belong to a nation. It belongs to all of us, 8 billion people. And he followed. Nations belong to their citizens, not to the president, not to the prime minister. Nations belong to their citizens. And we, the citizens, have decided to go by democracy, respect, freedom, respect to human rights. Nobody has the right to appropriate a nation and take it to where he thinks that the nation is going to be great again. He has to consent with Congress, with people, with citizens, and if everybody agrees to follow a path, well done. But if not, he should respect the will of the people.